I want to talk to those of you who are in ministry, specifically those of you who have put your hand to the plow of God's work. This is a supplement to the ebook, Minister to Minister, 48 Laws of Spiritual Power. And I'd like to talk about three different subjects as they relate to ministry. The first is the neglected topic of brokenness. The second has to do with caring for your spirit and your soul. And the third has to do with the results of your ministry, particularly on how to gauge them. So let's take each one piece by piece. The first, brokenness. There is quite a bit in the book, Minister to Minister, on this subject, but I have noted and observed that many Christian leaders have no earthly idea what brokenness is, why it's critical, and how we underestimate its importance for those who do understand something of its power. It is very clear in the New Testament that in order for the light of God to break through, we must be broken. If you have put your hand to the plow of God's work, you are in critical need of brokenness. And every one of you listening to this, I speak from experience, has underestimated what that means. I won't go into detail here, but from the ages of 18 to 39, the hand of God sought to break me for the work he called me to. And in those years, I was shanghaied, waylaid, bushwhacked, steamrolled, and there were days where every day of the week, a new shipment of nails arrived at my doorstep. And after the dust settled and my garments were still smoking, Jesus Christ came up with a zero in the life of Frank Viola. I was still not fully broken. And it took monumental suffering some years later to actually do some serious breaking in my life. And so I can say this, that throughout the years, particularly after 39 and on, Jesus Christ has in fact gained some ground in my life. But I use that illustration to tell you that not only is brokenness absolutely necessary for you to minister life, I am not talking about information. You don't have to be broken at all to disseminate information. That's simply passing data on from your frontal lobe to someone else's frontal lobe. But there's no transformation in that. I'm talking about a ministry of power and life. And the more gifted you are naturally, the more talented you are naturally, and the more gifts God has given you, the greater the brokenness must be in order for it to be the Lord and not you. I will simply say that if Jesus Christ breaks you, we will hear the screams from hell to heaven. And as I put it somewhere else, when God decides to break a man or woman, you'll come very close to choosing hell instead. It is ultimate agony. It is unmitigated torture. You will feel as though you have been put in the hands of a God who has gone mad. Now, if you've been brought up with the teaching, and I'll preface it by saying the very lopsided, unbalanced teaching that anything negative that comes into your life is the devil and not God, you have severely misunderstood the gospel. Study the word suffering, study the word trial in the New Testament, and you will find that it is the hand of God who so often brings that into our life. Now, certainly there is a role for the enemy, and there are times we are to resist, but at the same time, there is the submitting to the hand of God, the sovereign. And ultimately, when you pull back the curtain, you may see fallen man working. Pull it back again, and you will see God's enemy and your enemy, your spiritual enemy now. You pull back the curtain again, and you will see the hand of a sovereign God who is working everything out to accomplish his eternal purpose. Well, I've addressed this in books like God's Favorite Place on Earth, some in Insurgents, and certainly in minister to minister, so I will not belabor the point, except to say that the reason why we have such a shallow gospel and why we have such ineffectiveness and so much of what is being preached is insipid and doesn't get past the cranium is because so few who are in ministry are broken vessels. I do have to add a postscript to this. Remember the image of Jesus taking the bread and breaking it in his hands and thereby distributing it in multiplication to give life to those who are hungry. That is the image of what brokenness means and the end result. Now, if you say a prayer and ask the Lord to break you, which ought to be the prayer of anyone who is going to touch God's highest work, I want you to know that that prayer, once it leaves your lips, cannot be revoked. If you try to take it back when the fires get hot, and they will, you will discover that God has gone deaf. The lines will be down. He's no longer listening, and it will be unrelenting until he gets what he wants. Therefore, the prayer, "Lord, break me, do whatever it takes to make me broken bread to feed your people," is a scary, terrifying prayer. But it is one that cannot be taken back. So I have found, and others have found as well. All right, let's switch lanes and talk about caring for your soul and your spirit. Now, I believe the New Testament is clear that the soul and the spirit are not the same faculties. Your soul is your human self. It includes your mind, your will, and your emotion. The spirit is the deepest part of you. It is the center of your anatomy. Invisible, of course, but it has the function of conscience, intuition, and communion. It is where God dwells. It is the hidden man of the heart, so to speak. And both soul and spirit must be nurtured and fed. Now, we can spend weeks on this subject, but I will mention a few things about it that probably are uncommon. At least to my knowledge, they're not talked about much. To feed your spirit and soul, you should build into your life a constant influx of inspiration. What is it that inspires you, that is, gives you life? You can break this up into life to your mind, life to your emotions, life to your will, and of course, life to your spirit. What is it that inspires you? A constant influx, a constant inflow, a constant injection of inspiration. One of the reasons why I put books into the world, one of the reasons why I put messages, spoken ministry, on my podcast, one of the reasons why I write a blog post every Thursday, and why I have a YouTube channel, is to inspire the Lord's people, including leaders, including people who are in ministry. So whatever inspires you, be deliberate and intentional about having a steady diet of that inspiration. The other thing that is needed are deliberate periods of rest and relaxation that you build into your life. I don't mean every once in a while go on a vacation. I'm talking about on a daily basis. You have got to have periods of rest and relaxation and a constant influx of inspiration. If you neglect those two things, then you're either going to burn out or you're going to start bluffing. And I don't think I need to talk about what bluffing means. It's in the book, I believe, Minister to Minister. But those are your destinations if you neglect those two things. The third thing I will add along this line of nurturing your spirit and your soul is to aggressively eliminate anxiety and depression from your life. Now, let me expand that. Anxiety is being trapped in the future, and depression is being trapped in the past. God's peace, by contrast, is living in the present with trust in the Lord. Now, I am not going to tell you how to defeat and eliminate depression and anxiety. because it is different for every individual. We all have different wiring. We are all in different places with respect to those two things. I would simply say that in your aggressive pursuit to eliminate them from your life, don't restrict your training and your education to only Christian sources, because there's an excellent chance that you are not going to be able to overcome them simply by listening to Christians. Now, that ought not to be, but it is the fact that Christians tend to be, as a whole, very narrow. Some are so narrow-minded their ears touch. But to expand to anyone who will give you a handle, whether they're a Christian or not, to eliminate anxiety and depression in a way that works, knowing that the source of all truth and all that is good and all that is wise is God Himself, despite the people who are disseminating that information. Case in point, if we carry it over to the physical realm, physical health, some of the best doctors in the world who have been most effective are not Christians, and yet God uses them. And I don't want to jump into a rabbit hole on that point, but I'm just saying you would be foolish to restrict your education in this area only to quote-unquote Christian people and Christian practitioners. I'll say something else about depression. If you can envision a sheet of paper that's blank, and now you're going to get a pen and you're going to write a horizontal line across the middle of that page from left to right. On the far left, you have discouragement. On the far right, you have despair. In the middle of that line, you have depression. So depression stands between discouragement on the one hand and despair on the other. Now, you will face discouragement in your ministry, period. That is going to happen. But discouragement that's unchecked and untreated and undealt with is going to lead to depression. If you move from depression toward despair, now you're in the red zone. Because if you ever embrace despair, the game is over. The lights are out. There is no hope. This is why it's essential to deal with depression. And of course, also to find ways of responding to discouragement, which is going to happen in your life. So those are the three things I will leave you with as it concerns caring for your soul and spirit. A constant influx of inspiration, building into your life deliberate periods of rest and relaxation, and eliminating anxiety and depression. Finally, let's talk about results, the results of your ministry. I want to focus on one aspect of this that I think affects virtually every person who is involved in the Lord's work in any capacity. It is the challenge to leave the results completely with the Lord. I'm going to run that by again. To leave the results completely with the Lord. The temptation for everyone who ministers is to get feedback on what they have ministered, and reassurance and confirmation that what they have said, what they have spoken, is in fact from the Lord. Now, I believe that that is a misguided pursuit, and at the end of the day, a study in stupidity. You will never know the results of your ministry on this side of the veil. Most people who have been impacted by your service to the Lord will never tell you. I have that on good authority and observation. They'll never tell you. I remember once, and I can multiply examples of this, but I was speaking in a seminar, and there was a young woman who gave me a card. My wife was there as well. She gave me a card in my wife's presence, and she told us, when you get back to your hotel room, I want you to read this. Well, we got back to the hotel room. We opened up the card. I still have a copy of it. She, in effect, said that something I had written years ago saved her from suicide, that she was very close to taking her life, and she read this piece of writing that I had put out into the world, and that's the reason why she's still here. Now, if I had not attended that seminar, and she had direct access to me, even though she could have sent me an email, etc., because I am accessible online, but I'm convinced that if I had never shown up to that seminar in which she attended, I would have never known that. The point is, most people will never tell you how you have impacted them in the Lord. And if you begin to fish for comments or feedback, especially when it comes to a spoken word that you deliver in a conference or a church or a seminar or wherever, even then you're still not going to know the answer to your question. So let me give you an image. I want you to envision that you are in a bowling alley and you are with a group of people and it's your turn to bowl. You now stand up behind the line, you have the bowling ball in your hand, you reach back, and then you let it rip. And you watch the bowling ball hit the pins, and you watch the pins go down, and you analyze your results, and then you ask for feedback from the people who are around you as to how you did. That's image one. And that is what many people in ministry do. Big mistake. Here's the second image I want to give you, and this is the one I hope you will take with you and build into your life. You're standing behind the line. It's your turn to bowl. You pull back the ball. You let it go. And as soon as that ball leaves your hand, you turn around and you walk out of that bowling alley and you raise your hands to the skies and you say, "Lord, it's yours." And you leave it with Him. And you don't even know how many pins went down. And you don't ask your friends. You leave it with the Lord. And if you can do that, then you'll be a man, my son, to quote Kipling, which can be rephrased, then you'll be a woman, my daughter. The last time I remember asking for feedback on a spoken message was about 10 years ago. And I did it because I had shared with a group of leaders and seminary students. And what I said was so sharp, it ripped that room apart. And there were people who were electrified by it, and there were people who were angry. And it was fascinating to watch the dichotomy. And I was with two of my peers, very well-known people, and I asked them both separately because I wanted to see where they fell out on that spectrum. I was just curious, because I couldn't read them. And so I was in the room with one of the brothers in his hotel room, and I said, "So, I'm curious what you thought about what I said." And he was very complimentary. And then I spoke to the other one privately, and he was very negative. But he didn't give me any specifics as to why he was negative. And after that was over, I just felt in my heart, that was a mistake. I should have never done that. Sure, I was curious, but my curiosity should have gone to the cross. It is not my business. It is the Lord's business. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, you said such and such, and I didn't like it," or "You said such and such, and it was beautiful, and it changed my life," well, that's fine. That's all unsolicited. And if someone comes to you with some constructive criticism, it's always wise to listen. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you fishing for it and you wanting to try to gauge the results. Brother, sister, leave the results with the Lord. Let go of the bowling ball, turn around, and walk out of the alley like John Wayne. By the way, I've never seen a John Wayne movie in my life, but I understood that he was very good at walking away from situations tall and high. Well, there it is. So I gave you three things to look at by way of encouragement and challenge, brokenness, caring for your soul and your spirit, and leaving the results with your Lord. I hope you found it helpful.